We're in John chapter 14. Chapter 14. Well, let's pray. Huh? Father, we give this time to you, Lord. We know that you have brought us all here, and for those online as well, Lord, that is the same, Lord. You have had them tuned in, Lord, this morning, and we know that you never disappoint, Lord. You always have something to say to our hearts, Lord. So we would pray, Lord, that you would open the doors of our hearts, Lord, this morning, that we'd hear from you, that we would take from you, that we'd receive from you, Lord, what you have. And just thank you, Lord, for the day. Lord, like Adam prayed this morning, what a beautiful day, Lord, that you have given us. For this is the day, Lord, and that you have made. And we're so thankful. And so we give you the honor and the glory and the praise, of course, forever. Amen. Yes, so we picked up here in chapter 14, verse 25, and just to reiterate, I guess, where we are at here, it's a time of trouble for the disciples here. The betrayal of Judas has already been accomplished within his heart. Even though the physical act has not occurred, he's already betrayed him. Peter, one of Jesus' main disciples, right, and one of his closest friends, is going to betray him. Jesus tells him that that's going to happen. If things aren't worse enough to have one of your best allies, right, to betray you or to deny you at this time. And on top of that, Jesus spills the beans and he says, I'm leaving. You know, I'm leaving. And even when a church goes through that with a pastor, you know, to stand up and say, well, today's my last day. Hopefully people didn't just hear that and that's all they heard today and they think now that I'm leaving. but that's hard enough as it is, right? But Jesus, our pastor, right, says to his disciples, I'm leaving. And that's troublesome times, right? And so, and mingled in with these troubling times, Jesus knew that he had to give them that commandment there in verse 34 of chapter 13, where he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So he throws that in the midst of these troubles that they're experiencing, these perhaps very devastating times for them. But he also gives them some great assurances here. Assurances that if they would believe that he's not only leaving, but he's preparing a place for them, right? He's preparing a place for them. And he said, if I leave, there's some expectation here, right? We say, if he left, he's got to come back, right? So he's saying, if I leave, I'm going to come back, right? If I go to prepare a place for you, I am going to come back. And that's an awesome thing. You know, what a wonderful thing that is. And if he says, if I go to prepare this place for you, I'm going to come back. I'm going to return. And so, what a wonderful assurance that is. And by the way, he would later say that in verse 12 there, he said, you know, those that believe their works would be greater than his. And we look at that, and there is no greater work than salvation, right? But basically, he's saying there that the spread of the gospel was going to be extraordinary after he left. that don't you worry just because he's leaving to go sit on the throne, right? That's the one thing that we have assurance of today, is that our God, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how crazy the world seems to be, our God, Jesus Christ, he sits on the throne today. He sits on the throne, and he has all power. He is extraordinary. He's got all strength, you know. And of course, we give him all honor and all glory, of course. But he is greater and far above us. We are not greater. It's not saying there that we would be greater than Jesus. What it's saying there is when he left, the dispersion of the gospel would go out into the earth because of what's about to happen here. And that is the Holy Spirit would come in the believer's life, come in. You know, up to this time, the Holy Spirit was with them, but the Holy Spirit wasn't in them. And when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, all of a sudden, the believer got this wonderful power within them. And that's the other assurance, is that he would send the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was leaving, but he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and he would represent Jesus Christ. He would acknowledge all the goodness of Jesus Christ, because he is all good, right? And he would be a witness of Jesus Christ. And in verse 23, a wonderful assurance there that our God would come and live within us. Right? He would live within us there. It says that in verse 23, it says, if anyone loves me, do you love him? He will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. That's a wonderful promise there. Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, right? I will not leave you without a father. You will have a father. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Wonderful assurances, right? So let's read through this text. We're going to go through the end of the chapter here. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away. In coming back to you, if you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So he says there, these things I have spoken, verse 24, I have spoken for you while I was present with you. You know, why would the Lord tell them these things while he was still here? Well, just as today, we need to hear the good news, right? We need to hear the truth of God's Word spoken in our lives. You know, he knew the discouragement that would come to those that were following him, his disciples. It was, in a sense, right at the door, right? It was right at the door waiting to come in. And this discouragement has a tendency to happen when we let off our accelerator, in a sense. When we stop doing those things that we should be doing and that we know we should be doing. Right? Such as prayer. We should, you know, we are people of God. We should always be communicating with the Lord Jesus, right? We should always be talking with Him. We should always want to hear His voice. We should always be praying. But when we get discouraged sometimes, that prayer life starts to diminish. We start to think of it as, well, what's the bother? And He wants them to understand that even though the times were dark, right? And Keith read that wonderful psalm there, 88, and I know of his hesitation in it, but even when times are dark, we can still say, Lord, our God of salvation, He is our God of salvation. And I think that, even when things are dark in our lives, maybe that's the time we should even want to increase our prayer life. Maybe that's the time we want to spend more time in God's Word. Are we drawn to that? At these times that are dark, these troubling times, it may seem like God is far from us. But He hasn't deserted us. The Scriptures are very clear that He won't forsake us, right? He will be there through the storms with us. And that would be encouraging to His disciples. That's one reason why He would write such a thing as these about these things. And not only has He not left us, but He has made His home with us, in us. That in itself, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives should bring us great joy, even through the tough times, even through the times of sorrow. It's easy to be joyful, isn't it, when things are going right for us, when we are getting our way, in a sense, when the prayers are answered in the way we want them to be answered, then it's very easy to rejoice. But when the prayers start coming back answered in a different direction than what we was hoping for. Have you ever sat there and told the Lord what you wanted? Lord, I want it done this way. That's not our position. Our position is just to ask. But then He says He sends a helper in verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit. He defines who the helper is. It's not just any old thing. It's the Holy Spirit Himself. A lot of times nowadays, you're looking for good help. Well, the Holy Spirit, He's a good helper. You can depend upon Him. He will guide you. He will give you that sense of discernment. He'll give you wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. He's a good helper. He's the one that represents the Son. The Holy Spirit, we can be assured of this, that the Holy Spirit always points to the Son. He never confuses or contradicts what the Lord Jesus would do. He always confirms. He's a teacher. Whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. We can depend upon the Holy Spirit to teach us. We're dependent upon Him. We can't do this without Him. We were very dependent upon Him for understanding and for discernment and for wisdom, of course. And undoubtedly, Jesus had been teaching. We saw this all the way through this book so far. He's continuing to teach and teach and teach and teach His disciples. He spends time with them. Right? He spends time with them. And now Jesus is saying He's leaving. Who's going to be our teacher? Jesus says, don't you worry. You see, the Father is sending the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. There's a sense here that there's this... It's not going to be a different teaching. It's going to be a continuation of what the Lord had already been doing. It's a continuation of the work absent of the physical body of Jesus. Because the physical body of Jesus was going to be hung upon the cross. Right? He was going to pay the price for our sins. He was going to be crucified, dead, and buried. And He was going to raise and have victory over sin and death. And He was going to sit on the right hand of the Father. Right? In all power. All majesty. The work of the Spirit was really the continuation of the work of the Lord. Man could falsely accuse, man could falsely convict, man could falsely execute, but man could not stifle. Man could not prohibit. Man could not discontinue the work of the Lord. We see all the stuff that's going on in the world, right? We get upset. Let me tell you, we get upset about this stimulus package. You know, only 9% of it's going to our pockets. So we get all upset. 91% of it's going to all these different causes and stuff. So they say. I haven't really read through it, but that's what they say. And everybody gets upset. That's not going to stifle the Lord if His people don't get the stimulus package. I'm not going to stifle the Lord if all of a sudden they say, well, churches can't have no more write-offs for churches. They got to start paying taxes. And there is rumor of that, you know. That's not going to stifle the Lord. When people can't deduct their tax, their donation to the church, that's up to them. That's between them and the Lord whether they want to give anymore or not, because they can't write it off. But if they don't, and the treasury becomes less and less, that doesn't stifle the work of the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit continues to work. He continues to do the work. We don't have to worry that somehow the Holy Spirit, God, is going to be diminished. We may look around and think that, well, gee, it doesn't seem like God's working. Or God's at work. I'll tell you right now, He's at work because He's changing this man. Is He at work in your life? Are you allowing Him to change you? Because that's really where it needs to start. Stop looking at the world, because you know what? The world isn't going to change. The world's going to get worse. Right? As we read through Revelation, it's getting worse. We could tell that as we went through the seven churches. Things are getting worse. It's just the way it is. Just the way it is. The work of the Spirit. The continuation of the work of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is one that reminds us of Jesus' saying. He reminds us of verse 3 in chapter 14 here. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that wherever I am, there you may be also. Bob's prayer this morning was, Lord, I'm looking forward to seeing you, right? Hope everybody else is too. Well, I hope everybody else is too. Because He's preparing a place for us. Verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. This is the Holy Spirit's going to remind us of these things. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We need to remember that when we ask in His name for His purposes, God's going to answer those things. In His timing, of course, you know, because sometimes our timing is not God's timing. God doesn't go back an hour and then go an hour in His time. His time is His time, right? Holy Spirit's going to remind us of, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Do we love Him? Are we keeping His commandments? Are we doing what He asks us to do? He's going to remind us that He makes our home in Him. That God makes His home in us. He's going to remind us of those in these troubling times. These are the things which the Holy Spirit will do. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He mentions that again, doesn't he? He knows they're troubled. Let your heart not be troubled. Let our hearts not be troubled. You know, when we are rejected, or when the gospel is resisted by others, let us not be troubled. God's not stifled. He's not worried. This peace was often when somebody was leaving, that you would say shalom, right, to somebody, peace be with you. It was customary for that to happen as one left another. But as Jesus says these words about peace, you know, these words about peace. It's not a casual thing. He says it's nothing like you've heard before. It's nothing that the world would offer up to you. So often today, folks are offered peace. They're offered peace through, and I'm not downplaying the use of medications or doctors' suggestions or any of that. But that is the first thing they offer. If there's a problem, there's always something to go, some cocktail to go with it, if you know what I mean. Our first response is that when we fall out of peace, it's not the doctor. It's not the neighbor. It's not even our best friend. It's not our husband. It's not our wife. When we fall out of peace, we need to get going right to the Lord, right? Because He has a throne of grace, you know. When we're troubled, when we're in Psalm 88 there, and by the way, I never picked that Psalm. It was all picked through the Holy Spirit, you know. When we're in that troubling time that psalmist was, when our peace is kind of gone, we just need to go to the Prince of Peace, right? He's the one that we go to. Listen, this is what... So there's two gifts, right? There's two gifts here to be received from God. One is His Holy Spirit. And also His peace. Aren't you glad you came today? It's not like this every Sunday. So maybe they're, you know, what do they call them? The paparazzi, or what do they call them in paparazzi? Yeah, maybe that's what it is for you guys. They followed you here. No, I'm just teasing you. But look at, this is what the commentator Barclay says. He says, in the Bible, the word peace, speaking about peace, he says, shalom, never means simply the absence of trouble. It means everything which makes for the highest good. The peace which the world offers us is the peace of escape, the peace which comes from the avoidance of trouble and from refusing to face things. So, no, see, this peace is when the storm is raging, right? The storm is raging. Yet he would not be, or we would not be, right? When the waves are increasing, right? When the waves are getting higher and higher, yet we are settled, right? When the governing authorities seem to be all crazy, their policies are crazy, God gives us the peace of sanity, right? We're not worried about it. When we look at Scripture, right, we see the experience of the Lord in Mark chapter 4. If you want to go there for a moment. Chapter 4, verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. It's always good to take Jesus along for the ride as he was. Right? We don't want to change Jesus. He's the perfect Lamb of God. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was there in the stern, asleep on the pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a calm, a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey? Of course, we know who he is. But just a lack of peace in that boat. And they had Jesus with them. You look at that situation there, the boat, with Jesus there with them, and they lack peace. It's similar to us, isn't it? We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have Jesus with us, yet sometimes we lack peace. And Jesus contributed to that they had no faith, or they were lack in faith at that point in time. And of course, when we're in that situation, sometimes, unless it's only me, I don't trust in the Lord at particular times, right? And what am I saying? He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't have the ability to get me to the other side. He doesn't have the ability to get me through storms. Well, when we get there, we all get there, right? We have these. Doubting Thomas kind of moments in our lives, and we in a sense we lack faith. And if we lack faith, well, that gives us a good thing to pray for. We should be praying for faith because He gives us faith. We don't have to muster up faith. Oh, I'm going to be real faithful today. No, that's one of the gifts of Spirit, is that He would give us faith. So we pray for faith. Excuse me. Verse 28, you have heard me say, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, and you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Positionally, he understood that Father was above the Son. And he was going. You know, Jesus had humbled himself. He had come to earth with the pure purpose to save sinners, right? To die upon the cross. He left His throne of glory to come here and be our Savior. And when He would leave and there would be a greater work that was going to be done, the spreading of the gospel. But He would never leave without the promise of returning. We always have that. We always have that He promised that He would return. He tells His disciples, if that is true, then they should be rejoicing in this. They should be rejoicing in Him leaving. It's easy to sit here or stand here and say, they should have been rejoicing. But they didn't know what comes next. They don't know the victory that's going to come in the cross. They only have heard of it. They haven't seen it. We have seen it. We have less of an excuse not to rejoice today when we are going through suffering and persecutions and trials. We have less excuse than they did. Because we have seen the salvation of the Lord played out. He told of His disciples so His disciples would not be discouraged. And if we're discouraged today, maybe you've felt like the election should have went some other direction. Let me reassure you, it shouldn't have. Because our God is in control. He's sovereign. You feel maybe restricted by all the executive orders. You feel bound by the political environment that we're in. Or maybe you have allowed the circumstances of life to just overwhelm you in such a way that if you're honest, you've lost or maybe misplaced the peace that the Lord gifted to you. I was reminded that today is the day of salvation. When we think of that, sometimes we think of it as saving of the soul, but it's so much more. Maybe you've been saved for years. 20, 30, 40 years, maybe that long. But you find yourself in a place of unbelief. And you need to just pray to the Lord, Lord, help my unbelief. That's a good place to be. When you're in prayer and you can honestly say that. That you don't have to put on an act. You don't have to make believe that you're okay. How many times have somebody said, how are you doing today? Good. And then you had to repent because you just lied. Right? God wants our honesty. Maybe you've been coming to church for years. You've been doing all the church stuff, but you don't know the peace of God because you've never made peace with God. And in His sense, you're still His enemy. You haven't surrendered to the Prince of Peace, and you need to. You need to, right? I mean, John's pretty clear in chapter 3, you must be born again. There's no punches being pulled there. Must is a must. Maybe today you're standing firm on the Lord through and through. You've had various trials and you've come through them, and you cling to the Word of God, and whenever you have a chance, you're to the prayer meetings. You're in your prayer closet. You're seeking the Lord. Well, maybe today you're the encourager for the discouraged, for the downtrodden. Maybe you're the one that could encourage. And maybe today you would be the one that would rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord because He's coming back soon. In verse 29 it says, "And now I have told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe." He told them these things so that they would believe in the most difficult times, that they would trust in the most difficult times, that they'd put their lives in His hands in the most difficult times. "And I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me." Which is kind of funny because in the next three chapters he's talking with them. He's also talking with... So he's not going to talk much, but he's got three more chapters here before his betrayal. So he's going to talk a little bit, so listen up. But Jesus says this almost in the peace that He's offering to these. He says peaceably to them, "No longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming." He is coming. The invasion is ahead. He's coming. I know He's coming. It's imminent, you know. Nothing can stop Him. But He says, "He has nothing in me." You know, there's no temptation that could overthrow Him or divert Him from His mission. We're often diverted, or we're often tempted or sidetracked by certain things, you know, circumstances. Sometimes we're even befuddled about things, you know. But Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit and peace, trusted His Father as we should trust Him. And He had one goal, and that was the cross. And He says in verse 31, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." You know, all these things didn't trouble Jesus. Jesus wasn't troubled that He was about to get betrayed. He was going to the cross willingly. He allowed them to persecute or to crucify Him. It's hard to say, 14, 16, and 17, the progression towards the betrayal there in 18. It's hard to say where exactly they were, you know, as they were going through this, but we know they didn't stay in one spot. It says, "Let us go from here." They didn't stay in that same spot. They didn't stay in that chapter a 14 life where they're troubled and dismayed. They're overwhelmed by the circumstances. This is a command that Jesus gave them. He doesn't command us to stay put. He doesn't command us to wallow in our discouragement until He comes. But He gives us some great assurances here so that we don't get discouraged. And that we don't stagnate. Peter would say, occupy until we come. Until I come. Jesus says here, arise, let us go from here. He gives us a command to rise, arise. So much of the church today is not aroused by the Holy Spirit. They might be doing some crazy things. They might be even saying it is the Holy Spirit. But Jesus wants His church to arise from the slumber. He wants us to not be sleeping in our pews. He wants us to, you know, we got a meeting right after this. We're going to do an outreach in Corning here next weekend on Saturday. I encourage you all. Right, it's Saturday, right? 4 o'clock. We're gonna go out and just hand out bags of goodies and a lot of tracts and a lot of this and that, you know, just to share the gospel. Very unthreatening. You know, there's probably more threat today here in this church than there will be probably next Saturday. The worst thing I think that could happen is nobody takes any of our bags and we get to eat all the candy that's in them. But He asks us to arise. There's a command there. Not just stay there, but go, you know. So it's just an encouragement for us today. He gives us so many assurances in His Scripture, and He allows us to partake in His mission, you could say. What a wonderful God we have. Well, normally we'd have one last song. Are you going to do one last song? Yeah. Okay, let's do one last song then. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your many blessings, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for, you know, just what You did today, Lord. You know, I mean, calming the storm. And, you know, I guess it never should amaze me, but it amazes me sometimes when we're in Scripture and things happen that relate to it. But the world does. They just want to destroy our peace, Lord. And we're so thankful that You are our peace. That we can be assured that You are in control, Lord. We can follow You, Lord. We can trust where You go. So we thank You, Father, for Your goodness, and may we praise Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.